Diana Bishop never set out to change the world. As an accomplished historian specializing in alchemy at Oxford University, she simply wanted to pursue her academic career and keep her witchcraft heritage firmly in her past. But when she accidentally calls up a bewitched alchemical manuscript known as Ashmole 782 from the Bodleian Library's depths, she sets in motion events that will forever alter the delicate balance between humans and the hidden world of creatures, witches, vampires, and demons. This manuscript, known as the Book of Life, has been missing for centuries, and its appearance draws the attention of creatures worldwide, including the enigmatic vampire geneticist Matthew Claremont. Their forbidden romance across species lines and subsequent journey through time to protect both the book and themselves forms the heart of Deborah Harkness's epic tale, which reaches its thrilling conclusion in the Book of Life. The story begins with Diana and Matthew's return to present-day Septours after their time-traveling adventure to Elizabethan England. Their homecoming should be joyous, but instead, they're greeted with devastating news. Diana's beloved Aunt Emily is dead, murdered by Peter Knox of the congregation while searching for information about Ashmole 782. This loss sets a somber tone for their return and ignites Diana's determination to bring Knox to justice. The couple also returns fundamentally changed. Diana is now pregnant with twins, a supposedly impossible feat for a vampire witch pairing. She's also evolved into a rare and powerful weaver witch who can create new spells rather than simply using existing ones. Matthew, meanwhile, carries the burden of centuries of secrets, including his blood rage, a genetic condition causing uncontrollable killing frenzies that he's hidden from most of his family. Their relationship faces immediate challenges from Matthew's vampire family, particularly his brother Baldwin, who initially refuses to acknowledge Diana as Philippe de Clermont's blood-sworn daughter. This ancient blood vow, performed during their time in the past, gives Diana protection as an official de Clermont family member, a status that becomes crucial as the congregation, the governing body of creatures, begins to close in on them for breaking the covenant forbidding interspecies relationships. The de Clermont family dynamics are fascinatingly complex. Matthew's mother, Yisabeau, once hostile to Diana, has become fiercely protective. His son Marcus leads the Knights of Lazarus, an ancient brotherhood founded to protect the vulnerable. And most surprisingly, they discovered Jack Blackfriars, a human child they cared for in Elizabethan London, has been turned into a vampire and suffers from inherited blood rage. Family is not just about blood, Diana realizes as she watches these immortals navigate their tangled relationships. It's about who remains when everyone else has abandoned you. This theme resonates throughout the story as both Matthew and Diana build their own unconventional family unit while navigating the expectations and obligations of their respective bloodlines. Matthew's blood rage, a genetic condition causing vampires to become uncontrollable killers, emerges as a central conflict that has shaped his entire existence. For centuries, he's hidden this condition, even from those closest to him, fearing the death sentence it carries in vampire society. The revelation of this secret shakes the foundations of his relationship with his son Marcus, who learns that Matthew was forced to kill Marcus's own children in New Orleans when they inherited the condition. The horror deepens with the introduction of Benjamin Fuchs, Matthew's disowned vampire son who also carries blood rage. Benjamin represents everything Matthew fears becoming, a sadistic killer who uses his condition as justification for unspeakable acts. Benjamin's centuries-long vendetta against the de Clermonts has included torturing Philippe during World War II and systematically raping witches in attempts to recreate Diana's miraculous pregnancy. Blood rage doesn't make us monsters, Matthew tells Jack, who also suffers from the condition. Our choices do that. This distinction becomes crucial as Matthew struggles to accept that his condition doesn't define him while simultaneously hunting Benjamin to prevent further atrocities. The scientific aspects of blood rage add fascinating depth to the supernatural elements. Matthew has secretly studied genetics for decades seeking a cure, and when Diana's friend Chris Roberts joins their research team, they begin exploring complex inheritance patterns beyond simple Mendelian genetics. This blend of cutting-edge science with ancient vampire lore creates a uniquely compelling framework for understanding the creature's biology. Diana's evolution as a Weaver Witch forms one of the most captivating aspects of the narrative. Unlike ordinary witches who use established spells, weavers can create entirely new magic by tying knots in the threads that connect all things. This rare ability makes Diana both extraordinarily powerful and dangerously vulnerable, as weavers were historically hunted and killed by other witches out of fear and jealousy. Magic is nothing more than desire made real, Diana realizes as she reconnects with her witch heritage. Her magical development becomes a journey of self-acceptance after years of denying her powers. With the help of her Aunt Sarah and the Madison Coven, Diana begins to understand the colored threads emanating from her fingers, each representing different types of magic, from elemental powers to the higher, darker magics of concealment and death. The manifestation of Diana's fire drake familiar, Cora, a dragon-like creature that emerges from within her, symbolizes the wild, untamable aspect of her magic that she must learn to embrace rather than control. Similarly, her weaver's cords becoming physically embedded in her palms represents the integration of magic into her very being, something she can no longer deny or suppress. Harkness creates a magical system that feels both ancient and fresh, drawing on alchemical traditions while establishing unique rules and limitations. Diana's spellcasting involves both the physical weaving of knots and the verbal grimoire, the ability to put magic into words. This dual nature of magic reflects Diana's own academic and witchy sides, eventually merging into a cohesive whole as she accepts her complete identity. The search for Ashmole 782, the Book of Life, drives much of the narrative as Diana and Matthew race to find its missing pages before their enemies. This mysterious manuscript, created from the skin and blood of all three creature types, contains crucial information about their origins and the genetic basis for their differences from humans. The hunt takes Diana across Europe, from the Bodleian Library to private collections and ancient archives. Each recovered page reveals more about creature history. One shows the Tree of Life with human shapes in its branches. Another depicts two dragons, actually a fire drake and Ouroboros, shedding blood that creates new life. And the third illustrates an alchemical wedding representing the union of opposites, much like Diana and Matthew's own relationship. When Diana finally reassembles the complete Book of Life, the result is both unexpected and profound. Rather than simply reading the book, she absorbs it entirely, becoming a living vessel for its knowledge. "The book hasn't gone far," Sarah tells her. "It's inside you." This transformation completes Diana's journey from reluctant witch to the embodiment of creature wisdom and history. The book reveals the existence of Brightborn, children of vampire-witch unions like Diana's twins, and suggests they represent hope for all creatures whose populations have been declining due to the Covenant's restrictions on interbreeding. This revelation provides scientific evidence that the Covenant was based on fear rather than necessity, strengthening Diana's case for its abolition. At its heart, the Book of Life is a love story between two beings who should never have found each other. Diana and Matthew's relationship challenges centuries of prejudice and separation between creatures, embodied in the covenant that forbids interspecies relationships. Their union represents the alchemical wedding depicted in the Book of Life, the joining of opposites to create something new and transformative. Their relationship faces constant tests. Matthew's blood rage intensifies around Diana due to their mating bond, making him dangerously possessive. Their separation when Matthew establishes his own scion nearly breaks them both, and Benjamin's threats against their children force them to make impossible choices between family safety and personal desires. Yet through these challenges, their bond deepens, With me, you don't have to be the hero all the time, Diana tells Matthew, offering him the freedom to be vulnerable after centuries of maintaining rigid control. Similarly, Matthew provides Diana with the support to fully embrace her magical nature without fear of judgment. Their love extends beyond just the two of them to encompass their unconventional family, including Jack, whom they effectively adopt as their son despite his complicated origins. The twins they conceive, Rebecca and Philip, named for their respective parents, represent the physical manifestation of their union and the hope for creature integration in the future. History weighs heavily on every character in this tale. As immortal beings, vampires carry centuries of memories, grudges, and secrets. Matthew's long life has been particularly burdened by his blood rage and the terrible choices he's made because of it. Secrets, like the dead, do not always stay buried, Fernando warns him, foreshadowing the cascade of revelations that follow. The historical depth of the vampire world is richly portrayed through Philippe's posthumous influence, Isabeau's centuries of protecting Matthew's secret, and the Knights of Lazarus's evolution from medieval crusaders to modern protectors of the vulnerable. Even buildings carry history. Matthew's London house contains rooms designed centuries ago in anticipation of Diana's eventual arrival. For Diana, history is both professional passion and personal journey. Her time-walking ability has given her direct experience of the past, complicating her academic understanding of history. The past isn't dead, she reflects. It's not even past. It lives in us, and we are forever bringing it back to life. This becomes literally true when she absorbs the Book of Life, becoming a living repository of creature history. Secrets form another central theme, with nearly every character hiding something significant. Matthew conceals his blood rage and his role as family assassin. Galloglass hides his centuries-long love for Diana at Philippe's command. Even Diana's parents kept secrets about her weaving abilities. The gradual revelation of these secrets drives much of the plot's tension and emotional impact. One of the most fascinating aspects of Harkness's worldbuilding is the seamless integration of cutting-edge science with ancient magical traditions. Matthew's genetic research into blood rage represents the scientific approach to understanding creatures, while Diana's weaving embodies the magical perspective. Rather than positioning these as opposing forces, the narrative suggests they are complementary paths to the same truth, each illuminating different aspects of the same reality. This duality is reflected in everything from the architecture of septors, where ancient stones house modern laboratories, to the way creatures themselves embody both magical and biological traits. The integration reaches its peak when Diana's friend Chris Roberts joins their research team at Yale. As a human scientist studying creature DNA, Chris brings fresh insights that challenge Matthew's established thinking about genetic inheritance. His outsider perspective helps bridge the gap between human science and creature knowledge, demonstrating how modern scientific methods can unlock ancient mysteries. Meanwhile, Diana discovers that her magical weaving follows patterns similar to DNA's double helix structure, suggesting an underlying unity to all knowledge. This revelation becomes particularly significant when she realizes that her spells often mirror molecular structures, and her magical abilities seem to operate on principles parallel to quantum mechanics. We're just one genetic test away from discovery, Chris warns, highlighting the precarious position of creatures in the modern world. This scientific vulnerability adds urgency to their quest to understand their own origins before humans potentially discover them through advancing technology. The threat becomes more tangible as genetic testing becomes widely available and databases of DNA grow larger, forcing creatures to adapt their centuries-old methods of hiding to account for modern scientific capabilities. The Book of Life itself represents the ultimate union of science and magic, a manuscript created through magical means that contains scientific truths about creature genetics and origins. Its pages combine alchemical symbols with what appear to be DNA sequences, and its margins contain both magical spells and scientific formulas. When Diana absorbs its knowledge, she embodies this synthesis, capable of understanding creatures through both magical intuition and scientific analysis. This integration suggests that the distinction between science and magic is largely artificial. Both are simply different approaches to understanding the fundamental nature of reality. The narrative further explores this theme through the congregation's resistance to scientific investigation, showing how their rigid separation of magical and scientific knowledge has actually hindered their understanding of creature origins. Matthew and Diana's willingness to embrace both approaches ultimately proves more successful, leading to breakthroughs in understanding blood rage and creature evolution that neither science nor magic alone could achieve. The covenant forbidding relationships between different creature species stands as the central societal conflict of the narrative, its influence reaching deep into every aspect of creature society. Initially established centuries ago as a protective measure to shield creatures from human discovery and persecution, it has evolved into a rigid instrument of control and segregation. The younger generation of creatures, particularly those born in more progressive times, increasingly view it as an antiquated restriction that stifles natural connections and perpetuates harmful prejudices. Marcus's diplomatic efforts to abolish it through official channels in the congregation have repeatedly met with fierce resistance from traditionalists who fear change would destroy their carefully maintained social order. Diana and Matthew's relationship serves as a direct challenge to this established order. Their very existence as a couple threatens centuries of carefully maintained separation. Their impossible children, twins who carry both witch and vampire traits, represent what many considered genetically unthinkable. These children become living proof that the boundaries between species are more permeable than previously believed, forcing the creature world to confront its deeply held prejudices. As Diana prepares for her confrontation with the congregation in Venice, she uncovers historical documents and testimonies revealing the covenant's true origins. Her research shows it was primarily established out of fear and prejudice regarding mixed-blood children, rather than genuine concern for creature welfare. Moreover, she discovers evidence that the strict enforcement of species separation has led to dangerous levels of inbreeding within creature communities, resulting in declining populations and increasing genetic disorders, particularly among vampires. The groundbreaking genetic research conducted by Matthew, Chris, and Miriam provides revolutionary scientific evidence that fundamentally challenges the biological basis of the covenant. Their studies demonstrate that demons, vampires, and witches are not separate species, but rather humans with specific genetic markers and mutations. This scientific revelation renders the covenant's entire premise, the necessity of keeping species separate, fundamentally flawed and irrelevant. This political dimension transforms the narrative from a mere supernatural romance into a complex examination of systemic discrimination and social change. The Covenant parallels human history's darkest chapters of segregation and discrimination, where fear of difference led to the creation of artificial barriers between communities. The struggle to abolish it represents not just a fight for individual freedom, but a broader movement towards social justice and equality. The potential dissolution of the covenant symbolizes hope for a more integrated future where genetic diversity is recognized as a strength rather than a threat, and where different creature communities can freely intermingle, sharing their unique abilities and cultural heritage without fear of persecution or judgment. As the story reaches its climax, both Diana and Matthew face choices demanding tremendous sacrifice, testing not only their individual resolve, but the very foundation of their relationship. Matthew deliberately walks into Benjamin's trap in Venice, knowing he might not survive, but determined to end his son's centuries-long reign of terror. This decision represents the culmination of his character development, from a vampire who once prioritized self-preservation to one willing to risk everything for love and justice. His choice is made more poignant by the knowledge that Diana carries their twins, meaning his sacrifice could leave his unborn children fatherless. Diana, meanwhile, must confront the congregation alone in their ancient stronghold while carrying the profound knowledge of the Book of Life. This confrontation requires her to stand before centuries-old adversaries, many of whom had previously tried to destroy her. The weight of this moment is amplified by her pregnancy and the understanding that she's fighting not just for herself, but for the future of all creatures. She must navigate complex political waters while maintaining the delicate balance of her growing magical powers. The goddess, who has guided Diana throughout her journey, appearing in various forms from the beginning, demands something precious in exchange for the Book of Life. This sacrifice manifests as the goddess's silver arrow, a mystical weapon that passes through Diana's body without drawing blood, but becomes permanently lodged inside her. The arrow represents both a gift and a burden, a weapon she must use when needed, regardless of personal cost. Its presence serves as a constant reminder of the price of power and the responsibility that comes with it. These sacrifices deeply reflect the story's underlying theme that meaningful change requires giving up something valuable, often something that has provided comfort or security. For Matthew, it's the rigid control he's maintained for centuries, his carefully constructed walls of emotional distance and self-imposed isolation. For Diana, it's the academic detachment that once defined her professional life and protected her from engaging with her true nature as a witch. Their journey forces them to abandon these protective mechanisms. Together, they sacrifice the safety of isolation for the vulnerability of connection with each other, their children, and the wider creature world. This choice extends beyond their immediate family to impact their entire community, challenging centuries-old prejudices and separation between species. Their willingness to risk everything becomes a catalyst for transformation in the creature world, proving that the greatest changes often require the most difficult sacrifices. The birth of Rebecca and Philip Bishop Claremont represents more than just the expansion of Matthew and Diana's family. It symbolizes hope for all creatures. As bright-born children of a vampire and witch, they embody the possibility of integration rather than separation, of celebrating differences rather than fearing them. Their christening ceremony beautifully illustrates this new beginning, combining pagan naming traditions with Christian baptism and incorporating the Knights of Lazarus's ancient rituals. The diverse gathering of witches, vampires, demons, and humans witnessing this event represents the integrated future Diana and Matthew are fighting for. Jack's creation of a new family emblem, combining the DeClermont serpent with Diana's crowned fire drake, visually represents this merging of traditions. Similarly, Matthew's decision to name their family Bishop Claremont rather than simply adopting the DeClermont name acknowledges the equal importance of both lineages. As Diana prepares to confront the congregation with the truth about creature origins and the covenant's harmful legacy, she carries not just the knowledge of the Book of Life, but the living proof of its revelations in her children. Their existence challenges centuries of fear and separation, offering a new path forward for all creatures. "Do not let the ghosts of the past rob the future of its joys," Philippe wrote in his final letter to Diana. This wisdom becomes the guiding principle for Diana and Matthew as they build their unconventional family and fight for a world where their children can live without hiding who they truly are. In embracing both the burdens of their respective heritages and the promise of their shared future, they embody the alchemical ideal of transformation, creating something entirely new from the union of opposites. Throughout this epic conclusion to the All Souls trilogy, one theme emerges with particular clarity: the power of choice in determining who we become. Despite the weight of genetics, history, and supernatural forces, characters repeatedly demonstrate that their choices define them more than their inherent nature. Matthew chooses to fight his blood rage rather than surrender to it. Diana chooses to embrace her weaver abilities rather than continuing to deny them. Jack chooses to feed the good wolf within him despite Benjamin's attempts to nurture his darkness. Even Baldwin ultimately chooses to recognize the Bishop Claremont scion despite his reservations. In the end, we all become the choices we make, Diana reflects as she prepares to face the congregation. This emphasis on choice rather than destiny offers a profoundly humanistic message at the heart of a supernatural tale. It suggests that even beings bound by ancient magic, immortal blood, or genetic conditions retain the essential freedom to determine their own path. As the Book of Life closes on Diana and Matthew's story, this message resonates beyond the supernatural elements to touch something universal, that love, family, and community are ultimately matters of choice rather than fate or biology. In choosing each other despite every obstacle, Diana and Matthew create something truly magical, a future where differences strengthen rather than divide, and where the threads connecting all living things can be rewoven into new, more beautiful patterns.